to Richer Life Insights. Our goal is to help you drive more money, motivation, and meaning into your life. Today, I'm having a conversation with Kathy Freston about how to lose weight, create more energy, and become healthier. So my goals for this conversation are for you to learn how to feel better and look better by eating better. We're going to talk a lot about what it means to be a vegan, but I don't want that to scare anybody. Because even if you have no desire to become a vegetarian or a vegan, you're going to learn some things here today, really practical tips so you can start feeling better. And again, I just don't want you to be scared off by that word. So let me quickly introduce you to Kathy Freston. She is, first of all, awesome. I love her. I was introduced to her by watching Oprah. My wife tapes Oprah all the time, so I saw her on there and I just fell in love with her message. She has recently published a brand new book called Veganist, Lose Weight, Get Healthy, and Change the World, which, and I'm not surprised, was an instant bestseller on the New York Times. She's written a couple of other books, Quantum Wellness, The One, and she's appeared not only on Oprah, but on Ellen, The Dr. Oz Show, Good Morning America, The View, and Extra. So thank you so much for being here, Kathy, and sharing your wonderful message.
Thank you for having me.
So we're going to talk again about what it means to be a vegan, but I think for a lot of people they might be a little bit confused by that term. So maybe you can just briefly talk about what is a vegan?
Sure, absolutely. So vegan is someone who doesn't eat anything from an animal. So there's no meat, dairy, eggs, fish, nothing that you would eat from an animal, whereas a vegetarian just doesn't eat the flesh of an animal, but they still eat eggs and dairy.
Okay, so this is, you know, for a lot of people when they hear that, they think, well, that's really different than how I eat today. It's kind of a radical shift. And so I'm wondering if you can talk about why someone would want to forego eating meat, eating cheese, drinking milk, all of these things that we were brought up to do. Why would someone want to stop doing that? Like, what's in it for them?
Well, let's start off with your physical health, okay? So a vegan diet helps you to get healthy, helps you to get to a healthy weight because plant foods are naturally high in nutrition, low in fat, and have no cholesterol. And vegan food is also full of fiber, so that makes you feel full and it turns off the hunger signal. And by the way, no animal food has a shred of fiber, not any. So fiber moves through your body like a scrub brush, and it keeps your plumbing working, if you know what I mean.
I do.
And because you are avoiding all the saturated fat from meat and dairy, you can prevent and reverse many of the diseases that plague our culture, like heart disease, type 2 diabetes, even certain types of cancer. So when you lean toward a vegan diet rather than an animal-based one, you start getting these health benefits fairly quickly. In fact, within the first week, you begin to drop weight. Within the second week, your blood pressure and blood sugar goes down. And within the third week, your cholesterol drops significantly. And so that's all in under a month you're going to see these health benefits. So that's an enormous change. And, you know, when I said what a vegan is, it's about not eating anything from an animal. But I want to emphasize that there's so many great foods that you can eat. So rather than focusing on what you're not eating, to think about all the great, you know, beans and legumes and whole grains and pastas and yams and veggies and fruits and all these high protein meat alternatives, that you're going to really have hearty, delicious food. And they're basically going to be very similar to the things that you grew up loving, but just veganized versions of them. So,
and, you know, my experience has been, because I have been a vegetarian for three years, and after reading your book, I am now a vegan with a slight modification we can talk about later. But when I first started thinking about giving up meat, and more recently giving up dairy, it was really, in my mind, a huge, huge undertaking. Like, in my mind, it was completely life-altering if I had to give up these kinds of things.
Right.
But what I discovered is that once you get into it, it's really not that radical after all. Like you talked about, there are so many wonderful foods you can eat, and it's not so much about what you're giving up. It's really what you're gaining from it. And you mentioned something in the book that I thought was great, and I'm kind of paraphrasing this, but you're saying one of the side effects to being a vegan is that you lose a lot of weight. I mean, it's really hard to be a fat vegan, is it not?
You don't see many fat vegans around. I mean, you certainly could live on Twinkies and chips and put on some weight, but a vegan diet helps you lose weight in several ways. So first of all, animal flesh has a lot of fat in it, and even so-called lean meat like skinless roasted chicken breast, which is the leanest meat that you could have out of all the meats, and even that has 20% fat, and 29% of that is saturated fat, and that fat makes us fat. Now, if you're thinking, okay, well, I eat, you know, low-fat dairy or non-fat dairy, lest you think that that's the solution, if you consider that low or non-fat options of dairy have higher levels of milk sugar, so that also is not good for your waistline. And one of the foundational things about a vegan diet, again, is that it's full of fiber. And so when your stomach is full of fiber, your brain is getting the message, I'm full, I'm satiated, I don't need to go out and get more. And then the third fascinating thing that you don't hear much about vegan food is that it has a high thermic effect. And that means it's the calories burned as body heat during digestion. And that is what amps up your metabolism. So within a few weeks of beginning a vegan diet, your after-meal metabolism increases so that it's 16% faster for around 3 hours after every meal. So that means you're literally amping up your metabolism just by eating vegan food. You're burning more calories more quickly. So that's how you lose weight. And it's one of those things that it's good for your weight loss. It's also good for your heart. It's good for the environment. And it's kind of a home run. But that's why I'm so passionate about this way of eating.
One of the, I guess, kind of the issues I face a lot in working with clients and their money is, and I think this is true for really any time someone wants to make any change in their life, that they think, okay, if I have to save money today, or if I have to eat better today, you know, maybe 20, 30, 40 years down the road, I'll have enough to retire. Or maybe 20, 30, 40 years down the road, I won't have cancer or heart disease. But gosh, you know, that's such a long way away. What you're talking about, though, are some immediate effects by switching to a vegan diet.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, let's look at money since you brought that up, because, you know, a whole foods nutrient-dense vegan diet is cheaper right away at the grocery store. If you're buying whole grains and beans from the bins, those are pennies for the pound. I mean, it's just very cheap, and you can make chilies and soups and casseroles and, you know, all kinds of things. And if you can buy veggies that are frozen, and frozen veggies are actually sometimes more nutritious than the fresh ones because they flash freeze them at the time of harvest, and it locks in all those nutrients. So if you do your grocery shopping carefully, you go to the farmer's market at the end of the day when the farmers want to sell their produce and, you know, not have to lug it all the way back to the farm, or you're buying things that are in season, those things tend to be cheaper. You're buying bulk, you know, in the bins, or frozen veggies. All of those things save you money right away, and it saves you money long term, because when you're not feeling well, when you're eating a diet that's rich in saturated fat from meat and dairy, you do tend to not have the same vitality and energy. You miss work. You're losing money on lost wages. You're losing money when you go to the doctors. Even if you have great insurance, there's still a copay that you have to pay, and certainly not all of medications are covered. And by the way, you know, the bigger diseases are very expensive to treat. You know, heart disease, getting heart surgery is very expensive and very time-consuming. So I think you save money short-term and you save money long-term. And speaking of getting sick, you know, there was, just to throw this in there, there's a study in Germany that came out recently that said vegetarians and meat eaters have the same amount of immune cells in their body, but the immune systems of vegetarians are twice as effective at fighting infections as a meat eater's. So you're staying, like, since I've been vegan, I haven't had a cold or a flu. So I'm not missing any work. I don't have that downtime. I have a lot of vitality to approach my life with energy, clarity of thought, you know, the same clogged arteries that go to your heart, that present problems for your heart, decrease the circulation going to your brain. So that, you know, leads to, well, they're saying now the Alzheimer's Association is that it is definitely leading to Alzheimer's, but also that you're not going to have the clearest of thinking. So when you're eating vegan food, you're feeling strong, vital, clear, and you're saving money at the same time.
I love it. So, I mean, even if you're not going to live longer, even though you probably will, but let's just take that off the table. You're not going to live any longer, let's just say, by eating this vegan diet.
But you will live longer.
But you will. But even if you didn't, your life is going to be more fulfilled because you're going to have more energy. You're going to be sick less often. You're going to have much more clarity when it comes to your thinking. Because we really need to sell the benefits of this for someone to give up cheese pizza and fillets.
I get you, Robert. I grew up in the South. I'm a Georgia girl, and we had chicken fried steak and barbecued ribs and, you know, milkshakes, and I was bacon, you know, a few times a week. I was so not interested in giving up my meat. I didn't think twice about it. It's not like I was a bad person, you know, or a thoughtless person. I was just eating what everyone else was eating, and I was enjoying it. It's a very social thing to have barbecue with people. So I get that. I love tradition. I love my favorite foods. I love the hearty texture that I grew up with, but you know, if you think about what your favorite meals are, think about maybe what I used to eat when I ate meat, maybe a beef burrito. So now I have, you know, a bean burrito, a black bean burrito with guacamole, salsa, little vegan sour cream. It's hearty. It's delicious. I'm satisfied. If I used to have pizza, I can still have pizza. I just buy the pizza crust at the supermarket, and I put some tomato sauce on and put some non-dairy cheese on, chop up some veggie sausage, put it in the oven for 25 minutes, and I've got a delicious vegan pizza. You know, it's just all of my favorite meals, tacos, you know, I can make with vegan chicken, a high-protein meat alternative, or I can make it with beans or meatless meat crumbles. So all my favorite stuff that I grew up with, burgers, hot dogs, anything, other than really a steak, I can have a veganized version of it. So I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything.
No, that's a good point, because a lot of people, when I tell them I'm a vegetarian or that I've turned vegan, and I just start talking about my own experience. I'm not trying to talk them into it, but they seem to get really panicky. Like they start thinking, oh my God, I mean, what I eat? There's nothing left to eat. I really love my pizza. I love ice cream. I love this. And they start to get really anxious about it. And at first I just thought, you know, well, you know, that's just people don't want to give up something. But after reading your book, I realized that there might be something else at play here, because you talk about how certain foods are addictive. Just psychologically addictive, like, you know, you had a bad day and you feel like coming home and having some comfort food, but actually physiologically addictive. And so maybe you can talk a little bit about what some of those foods are and sort of what the repercussions are to being addicted to food.
Absolutely. Rich and fatty food, you eat that and it stimulates a dopamine release in your brain. The dopamine is the sort of pleasure chemical. So you, every time you're eating a fatty, rich meal, you're getting a hit of dopamine. So the more you eat, the more you need. It's literally like a drug. If you have less than that, you're just not going to be happy with it, and you just need to. That's why we crave the greasy, juicy stuff, you know. And dairy is an interesting food, because as it's being digested, there's something that happens in the process that's created called casomorphines. And the word morphine is in there for a reason. It's like a morphine. The casomorphine is from the cheese. It's a chemical that literally is addictive. Just like morphine, we want more of it. That's why some people say, oh, I could never give up my cheese. I'm just addicted to cheese. They really are addicted to cheese. It's true. And so the way that I approach this, because I so get that panic feeling of, I don't want to give up my favorite foods. I don't want to, I don't want to just, you know, be this disciplined person eating bird food. I'm just so not interested in that. So what I did for myself, and it seemed to work, and it's kind of what I advise, is I just leaned into it. I just set myself in the direction and said, I don't know how I'm going to get here. I don't really want to suffer. I know I want to eat less animals, be more vegetarian, and then finally vegan, but I'm just going to lean into it, and I'm going to start taking these small steps. And so what I did was I just started veganizing my favorite things. For instance, what I put in my coffee in the morning, instead of having the half and half or the milk, I have now soy creamer. And it mixes really well. It goes with hot tea or hot coffee, and it's, you know, it's really smooth and creamy, and it's fantastic. So, okay, I've got that covered. That's one thing down. It was really easy to replace the ice cream that I loved. So instead of getting ice cream, I started buying non-dairy ice cream made from either hemp or rice milk or soy. There's so many delicious ones out there, and they're in every mainstream grocery store. You don't have to go to a health food store for it. So that was covered, no problem. The cheese part, it was like, oh, my God, you know, I love cheesy toast. I would have cheese toast with my soups or chili or whatever. So I found a great non-dairy cheese. I like Daya, but there's other ones out there. And, you know, I would melt it on a piece of toast or make the pizza like I told you about it, you know, melt it over my burrito. So little by little, I just discovered different ways of enjoying the foods that I grew up with. So I didn't feel overwhelmed. I didn't feel angry and resentful that I wasn't getting delicious food. Again, I was not interested in just subsisting on salads. No, thank you. I'm a hearty eater. I like to enjoy my food. I like to walk away feeling fulfilled and, you know, solid. And so I just said, I'm going to take my time getting there. One of the other things I did was I gave up eating one animal at a time. So I started with the big animals first. I started by giving up all red meat, and then I moved down. Then, you know, I think 6 months later I gave up chicken, and then I finally gave up fish, and then eggs and dairy. So I kind of worked my way down. In terms of cruelty, if you're concerned with animal suffering, you would give up the smaller animals first, because that's obviously more units of suffering, because one big cow can feed a lot more people than one small chicken. But so that was sort of an easy way of doing it, you know, just cutting out one animal at a time. My husband was like, okay, no more chicken, great. But he just sort of went along with it. And again, I didn't give up anything until I had the replacements ready. So I spent a little bit of extra time at the grocery store checking out what I could buy, either the high-protein meat alternatives, or I'd surf the web for recipes. There's a great website called VegWeb. There's a great app called Happy Cow that you can find, you know, vegetarian food, vegan food, wherever you are. So I just sort of got myself ready and educated and leaned into it.
So that's interesting. You really approached it by, instead of giving up, you just simply replaced.
Yes, and in nutritional circles they call that crowding out. And it's a good way of putting it, because you're literally crowding out the old food that you don't want to have in your diet anymore by putting in so much good stuff that you don't even give yourself any time to miss anything.
I like that. Know? No, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
And so how long did it take you from sort of the epiphany of, you know, I want to start making some changes, to basically being a vegan? How long was that process for you?
I would say it was close to 3 years. I'd like to say it was quicker, but I had two kids in the house, and, you know, my husband to consider, and we did a lot of entertaining. So I really took my time in finding my way. But I would say for sure within 3 years I was vegan. And, you know, I started off eating steak and foie gras and everything. So I moved. I wasn't halfway there already. You know, I was definitely a hearty carnivore. And but I just pointed myself in the direction, said, this is where I want to go. I don't know how I'm going to get there. I mean, some people get there by doing meatless Mondays, you know. So you could say, I'm going to feed my family nothing but vegan food on Mondays. And that sort of one day, and you practice, different, you know, things that you would prepare and see what your kids like and see what your, you know, what goes over well. And then if it goes well for a few months, maybe you say, I'm going to do Meatless Mondays and I'm going to add in a Thursday. You know, and you can sort of lean into it that way. Really, whatever is comfortable for you. Mark Bittman from the New York Times, he does meatless until dinner time. So he, you know, breakfast and lunch, he goes without meat, and then dinner time, he allows himself some meat. So, you know, there's various ways of getting there.
And I think a really important takeaway is, even if someone who is listening to this thinks, I am never going to get to the point where I'm like Kathy, where I've given up everything, there are still health benefits by cutting back, correct?
Absolutely. Well, the less saturated fat you have, and again, remember, even lean chicken breast with no skin on it is not really that lean. It's 20% fat. So the less saturated fat you have, the better. The more you put in that delicious veggie protein, the better you're going to do. And I happen to think that once you get moving in that direction, the body responds so well. There's a lightness that you feel, a clarity that you feel. For me, I felt in sync with my values about animals, all of that stuff. So it just sort of created its own momentum, and it tends to move you a little bit further.
It does, and you even get over that sort of addiction that you might have with certain foods as well. I mean, it might be tough the first week or
yeah.
two or 3 weeks, because I do think for so many of us, we are almost compelled to eat certain things. And,
oh, absolutely.
And so we have to kind of get over that hump. Once we're over the hump, I'm telling you, just I'm sure you would say the same thing. My own personal experiences, I just have zero interest in certain uh-huh. kinds of foods now that I used to love and, like you said, crave.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite thing that I missed more than anything was a tuna fish sandwich, believe it or not. I just loved my tuna fish sandwich so much. And I thought, you know what? One day I just really wanted it. And I was already vegan, and I just wanted it so bad. So I kind of went into a deli. I got my tuna sandwich. I went home, spread it out on the table, put my chips down, and I ate it, and it was not as good as I remember
it at
all.
That is hilarious.
It was fishy. It was kind of gross.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's happened to me actually I think it was about 10 days ago. I was in a restaurant in Santa Monica, and I had ordered a bean burrito, and I got it home, and, you know, burritos are all closed up. The things are folded under the flour tortilla. So I was hungry. I got it home, took a big bite of it, and there was a piece of chicken in there. And I was like, ugh, it just didn't taste. First of all, it was tasteless. It didn't have any taste to it. Second of all, texture did nothing for me. And, of course, I just thought about it, and I was like, oh, God, I can't believe I'm eating a piece of chicken. So, you know, we have these emotional bonds to food that may not be as strong as you think they are, because once you step away from it, you really, it's like getting sugar out of your system. You know, you think you could never go without sugar. By the way, it's not that I don't eat sugar. I do. That has nothing to do with vegan. But I'm just saying, it's like you get used to things. You just think you could never live without something, and then once that taste is out of your body, you know, you're not hankering for it anymore.
Oh, that's totally true. When it comes to, again, meat or dairy or, like you said, sugar, I mean,
yeah.
I used to eat a lot of sugar, and I personally have completely cut it out of my diet,
and
I have zero interest. I mean, it's
yeah.
truly anyone who's listening is probably thinking that we're both nuts and that we're both, like, I don't know, new agey kind of yeah. weirdo granola types. But, you know, from Georgia, you're from Georgia. I love this kind of food. It just something clicks.
Yeah,
for most people who go down this path.
It really does click. And with all the science coming out on the health benefits, it's so not new agey anymore. This is the peer-reviewed research coming out over and over again. Even the American Dietetic Association, which is as conservative a group as can be, says that vegetarians and vegans are not only as healthy as meat eaters, but they are more healthy because they have lower body mass indices, they have less heart disease, less type 2 diabetes, less of certain types of cancer. So this is the ADA saying this. It is definitely not a new agey thing anymore. There's too much hard science to support why a plant-based diet is good for you. And the exciting thing for me is that, you know, it's not the vegan of yesteryear. It's not the vegan of even 10 years ago, because now there's just so much delicious food available to us that wasn't available 10, 20 years ago. So you can still have your really hearty, delicious food without missing anything.
Well, let's talk maybe just a little bit about some of that research, because I'm sure people are thinking, well, hey, we're omnivores, right? I mean, we can eat meat. We can eat dairy. You know, milk does a body good. That's what we're told. We're supposed to eat meat. We're hunters and gatherers. And so why are we talking about giving up those kinds of things? Aren't our bodies designed to consume?
Yeah, our bodies are not designed for it. If you look at our hands, they do not have claws, talons that would be able to hold down prey and tear open the flesh. We don't have the hydrochloric acid in our gut to be able to digest raw meat. We don't have the teeth that a carnivore has, which are pointy and sharp and that can tear through flesh. We have flat molars that are good for grinding. Our jaw goes back and forth instead of chomping up and down. We have very long, windy intestines and colon, whereas a carnivore has a very short colon, so the food goes right in and right out, so it's not rotting. So we are meant to just be able to take our time digesting that nice plant food. When we eat the animal protein, it tends to rot in our system and it putrefies, and that's why as soon as you get a bad colonoscopy, the doctor will tell you got to really reduce your animal protein. They'll tell you to keep it under 5%. It's like, well, why didn't doctors tell us this when we were healthy? It's just incredible. But back to, you know, your point about, I hear that a lot also about, well, cavemen used to eat meat, and I think, well, gosh, have we not evolved since the caveman days? I mean, now we have all these choices, we have all these options, and we didn't have that back then. So, you know, I'd rather opt for the what our bodies thrive on and not get the cancer and heart disease and all that stuff. And by the way, back then we primitive humans tended to be scavengers, and that's probably how they started eating meat. It wasn't like a regular thing. So, but there's a lot of interesting science to support that.
So even though we can eat meat and consume dairy, it doesn't mean it's the most optimal for us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we can eat just about anything, you know, and that's the miracle of our bodies is that we can really survive, and that is just an amazing thing. But do we really want to go to the lowest possible thing we could survive on? I mean, personally, I would rather be slim, energetic, strong, clear thinking, you know, and by the way, doing something good for the environment, and eating in sync with my values of being a thoughtful human being. So,
no, I mean, that's a huge takeaway. I mean, the point of eating better like this is to really live a longer and better life. And it's not simply to just survive, because like you said, our bodies have an amazing ability to survive. I mean, that's really what they're designed to do. So we can live in extreme climates. We can eat really extreme kinds of foods. And we will, you know, for better or for worse, get by and we'll survive. But the whole point of this is not just surviving. It's really how can we thrive? How can we live our best life and do the things that we need to do? And this certainly is one way. It's one step in that direction.
Absolutely. And, you know, those diseases are not, it's not just a matter of taking a pill. I mean, I think a lot of people might think, type 2 diabetes, you give yourself a shot of insulin. It's, you know, it's a grueling disease. I mean, people who have type 2 diabetes can lose their eyesight. They can have kidney failure. They can lose limbs. They tend to live 10 years less, you know, when you have type 2 diabetes. You're at the doctor's a lot more. You've got dialysis. I mean, that is not living your best life at all. It's not just a matter of popping a pill or taking a shot of insulin. same with heart disease. It's you do not have the pleasure of playing with your children or your grandchildren and being in, you know, the outdoors and having that vitality. You're just really diminished in your energy and your ability to enjoy life. So I figure if there are these great, delicious options, and it's just a matter of spending a little bit of time to familiarize yourself with maybe a few different kinds of groceries or different kind of menus or different kind of recipes, if there are these delicious foods that are hearty and filling, why not? Why not lean toward that?
No, that's exactly right. Why not at least try it? You know, that's how I encourage people to start making change, and that's how I do a lot of change in my own life, is to say, you know what, I'm just going to try it for a day. And then once I do it for a day, then it's a week, and then it's a month. That way it's not, I'm giving up, you know, Pizza Hut forever. It's simply, I'm giving it up for a day. I'm giving it up for a week.
Exactly.
And you just sort of gradually do it till you get to the point where, you know, the week turns into a month, into a year, and you don't even
miss it. And by the way, you spoke of addiction earlier, and that's how alcoholics and drug addicts give up their drug, is they just say, just for today, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to think about never having this drink for the rest of my life, because that would make me out of my mind. So I'm not going to think about, you know, anything past today, but just for today, I'm going to make these choices that are really healthy, feel right in my soul, you know, good kind of all around, and I'm just going to see how it goes for today. And
it's really a very safe, non-threatening way to approach change in your life, whether it's not eating meat or anything, really. It's just doing it with that kind of a mindset.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, the sort of the three big diseases of our day, I would say, are heart disease, cancer, and I would also throw in there diabetes, if you look at some of the stats.
Yeah.
And this phrase, I first learned of it by reading the China study, and then you talk about it as well. I think it's so important because it was a brand new concept to me. And it's this idea of gene expression.
Right.
Maybe you can talk a little bit about what gene expression is and really how it can affect our long-term health.
Well, you know, Dr. Dean Ornish, who's really a pioneer in eating well and how it affects your health in so far as your weight and heart disease, he says that his latest studies with his organization are showing that changing your diet changes your genes. And a vegan diet causes over 500 genes to change in only 3 months, turning on genes that prevent disease and turning off genes that cause breast cancer, heart disease, prostate cancer, and other illnesses. I mean, that to me is just so empowering, because so often people think, oh, it's all in my genes, there's nothing I can do, you know? And it's very hopeful to think that these genes get turned on by certain foods and turned off by certain foods. And, you know, Dr. T. Colin Campbell, who's a professor emeritus at Cornell University, he wrote something called The China Study, and he talks about casein, which is the protein, the main protein in dairy. And he says that casein is the single most relevant cancer promoter that's ever been discovered. That means if you want to see cancer cells grow, say in a laboratory, you put some casein in there with it, and it acts like a fertilizer on the genes. So here's the thing. We are all exposed to toxins. We can't even help it. I mean, there's just, even if you live a very sterile life and you're super careful and you eat all your organic food, you are going to be exposed to toxins, carcinogens, right? Those carcinogens can be in our bodies. But what activates them, what fertilizes them, or keeps them quiet is the food that we eat. So when we eat dairy, which is, casein is in dairy, and that's the single most relevant cancer promoter, that is like fertilizer on those cancer cells, and it just grows them. And then they discovered that basically the structure, the biochemical structure of all animal protein is like dairy, so it has the same effect. So if you want to really decrease your odds of getting these major diseases. Conservative numbers by the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine says you can decrease your chances of getting cancer by 40%, your chances of getting heart disease by 50%, and cut back on your chances of getting type 2 diabetes by 60% by eating a vegetarian diet. They haven't done the studies with a vegan diet, so it would be much more positive results, obviously. Now, those are very conservative numbers, but those are breathtaking numbers to cut down your chances that much. T. Colin Campbell from Cornell would say that only 2% of your genes determine cancers and diseases, that the rest of it is all lifestyle. So, you know, that's a very, very empowering thing to think. I can take my health into my hands, choose what to eat, and that's going to really affect how I turn out in my life.
That's an amazing insight, and really, we could just start and end with that. Do you know what I mean? It's like that is so compelling that
yeah.
we have these cancer carcinogens, we have these things already within our body,
yep.
and that simply by what we eat, simply yep. by what we consume for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that we can turn off or turn on these kinds of genes. To me, it seems like science fiction, like, well, how could it be that easy?
Yeah.
But the research says it is that easy.
It is that easy. It is that kind of science that's coming out now. Ornish also found that a vegan diet makes your telomeres longer, which are the ends of our chromosomes that control how long we live. So as our telomeres get longer, our life gets longer. And again, a vegan diet does that. So it's really, again, turning on those genes and affecting the very chromosomes in our body. And it's very exciting, very, very exciting.
Why is it then when I open a magazine, I don't see an ad that talks about this research? Instead, I see a model or a celebrity with their little
yeah.
milk mustache, and it says,
yeah.
milk does a body good.
Yeah.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, those are big companies. You know, animal agriculture is just an enormous sector of the economy. I believe it's bigger than pharmaceuticals. So there's a lot of money in raising livestock, and, you know, they want to sell their product. And it's very easy for us to get addicted to that product, to like it. I mean, look at how obese we're getting. Look how sick we're getting. I mean, we're really paying the price. And unfortunately, some of the boards that should be looking out for us are stacked with people who were previously in the industry or have industry interests. I'm not a big expert in that, but all I would say is that we really have to be our own advocates. We really have to dig for our own information and find out the peer-reviewed research. You know, somebody can give you a study about just about anything and say, you know, whatever, candy's good for you, or, you know, but you really want to make sure it's a peer-reviewed study and it was published in a good journal. And we have to be our own advocates. You know, doctors don't really learn about nutrition in medical school. They're learning about how to fix certain diseases, you know, and fix things medically. So they're not learning about nutrition. It's not their fault. It's just not part of what they do. So we really have to advocate for ourselves. And I think the best way to do it is to eat differently and see how you feel. Because as I said, within 3 weeks, you see so many changes. Your cholesterol drops significantly. You lose weight. Your blood pressure goes down and your blood sugar goes down. So that's within 3 weeks. So I think you're going to feel the difference in your own body, and you can determine for yourself, this seems right to me. I feel better. I look better. My skin's cleared up. I've dropped this weight. I'm going in this direction.
And if you don't absolutely love the new you after 3 weeks, then you know what? Go back. Go back to the way it was. That's what I would recommend. And you know, you mentioned earlier, and you're a very nice person, and so and I hear this argument all the time about doctors and how they go to med school, and you know, gosh, it's really not their place to know about nutrition and this and that. And honestly, I think that is such a bunch of crap because, you know what, I didn't go to med school. I'm not a doctor. I went out and bought a book, okay,
uh-huh.
and I read it, and now I'm informed. And so
yeah.
I really think that the medical profession really has to do so much more and really spread the word much, much greater than they have sort of about this issue.
Boy, that would be great. Because people really look up to their doctors, and rightfully so. I mean, they're very, very smart people. But, boy, that would be great if doctors really, really took this as part of their practice. We would have a different culture for sure.
One of the, I guess, probably the most frequently asked question I get from people with regard to being a vegetarian is, well, you know, how do you get your protein then? Clearly, you don't get enough protein.
Yeah. Well, Americans, most of us get more than twice as much as we actually need, and that can be toxic for the body. A woman my size needs no more than 50 grams of protein. I'm 5'10", 5'11", and I weigh probably, I don't know, 134 pounds, something like that.
I just want to say, only a vegan would come on and actually give their height and weight. Okay.
Really?
No one else, no other woman in America would do that.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, and yeah, and you maintain your weight, by the way. Once you get to the weight you're supposed to be, it's effortless to maintain your weight because it's just your body knows what it needs. You know, your body feels when it's satiated, knows when to stop. You're just not on that crazy addictive cycle. But as for protein, There were a few really great articles and studies that came out recently about probably 2 or 3 months ago that said a high-protein, low-carb diet is okay as long as the protein is plant-based. Because if it is animal-based, it brings about early mortality. And I just thought that was so striking, you know, as I sat there and read it in the New York Times about, oh, my God, you read this and it's like, you know, that high protein diet that we've sort of been hypnotized to believe that we need, you know, you can eat all the bacon and chicken and, pork that you want as long as you're not having carbs, it is just doing so much damage to your kidneys, to your heart. It acidifies your body, you know, meat and dairy make your body acid, which makes it a host to disease. You want to keep your body alkaline, and that comes from whole grains, legumes, veggies, stuff like that. So it's pretty amazing. Again, the science is just coming out so strong in favor of a plant-based diet.
And I'm sure, you know, some of the macho guys out there, me not really being one of them, unfortunately, but
yeah.
the real men out there, they, I think, have this misconception that if you're a vegetarian or a vegan, well, that kind of means like you're a wimp, you're kind of skinny, you don't have any muscle. Now, tell them why that is not the case.
Well, if you look at some of the top athletes right now, they are vegan. If you look at Tony Gonzalez for the Atlanta Falcons, he's vegan or veganish, I would say. He occasionally has some fish, I believe. Prince Fielder, Ricky Williams, who are baseball players, they are vegan. John Sally, who's just an iconic basketball player, is vegan. The winner of the Ultimate Fighting Championship is Mac Danzig. He is vegan. Marathoners and ultra-marathoners like Brendan Brazier and Rich Roll are vegan. And they are saying that their recovery time is so much faster because they're not bogged down by all the saturated fat, that they're really powered by this naturally low-fat, high-protein diet, and you're getting all that nutrition. So it's just helping them in their sports better. Those are fierce athletes, by the way. And then you look at animals. You know, stallions, for instance, or gorillas are vegetarian. They're vegan. So that's kind of a myth. The whole thing that you need meat to be strong. You know, it's really an unfortunate myth because along with that goes so many of the diseases of our culture.
So you mentioned fish, and that is unfortunately one thing that I still eat occasionally. Everything else I've given up. Tell me, convince me, please. Why can't I have fish? What's wrong
you,
with
you
fish?
You can do whatever you want, Robert. I would never tell you what you could or should do.
No,
sure.
I know, definitely... but I need you to. Tell me, why don't you eat fish? How's that?
Well, I don't eat fish because I just didn't. I came at it from an ethical standpoint, and fish feel pain, and I think I was watching some koi in a pond once, and I was like, oh, I don't want to eat that. But that's just where I come from. But as far as your health, you're eating mercury and PCBs because no matter how deep the ocean is, how far out you go for the fish, those contaminants are there because they go up in the air, out into the ocean, down into the water. So the fish are contaminated, number one. For the environment, number two, a lot of fisheries, it's like clear cutting the ocean floor. They go through these gigantic industrial nets and just drag everything that happens to be there, whether it's the fish they're looking for or sea turtles or dolphins or lobsters or whatever it is. And so, you know, species are rapidly disappearing and, you know, our whole ecosystem is highly disturbed by this manner of industrial fishing. And if you look at farmed fish, the farmed fish, they're kept in very cramped quarters, just like, you know, industrially raised animals. It's just in the water. But when you have fish that are swimming that close to each other, there's going to be diseases. So in order to prevent the disease, they douse the water and douse the fish with antibiotics and pesticides and anti-lice killers, and they have to. The fish doesn't have the same color, so they put coloring into them. So you're eating a lot of chemicals, a lot of antibiotics. You know, a little word about antibiotics, by the way. 80% of the antibiotics that are made in our country, 80% of them are fed to livestock.
That's just crazy.
Isn't it crazy? And fish as well. So we're getting all these antibiotic-resistant infections because, you know, our cells are just used to the antibiotics. And in 2009, more people died from antibiotic infections than breast cancer and prostate cancer combined. Can you believe that?
Wow. So more people died from antibiotic infections.
Antibiotic-resistant infections, yes.
Antibiotic resistant. I got it. So the antibiotic did not work for them.
Exactly.
I see.
The infections are just, they're immune to the antibiotics because they've just, you know, they've just gone past it. So, and we, you know, we're running out of effective antibiotics, you know, because they've gotten stronger and stronger and they keep getting fed to animals. And so we're becoming resistant to antibiotics. So when we need them, they don't work as well. So that's what happens when you raise animals or fish in these tight conditions like that. So the fish you're eating, if you're eating wild fish, it's most likely contaminated with something, with PCBs, mercury. If you're eating farmed fish, you've got all this stuff that's being fed to them just to keep them, you know, from getting diseased and to die before it's time for slaughter. So personally, I'd rather go without. You know, it just is not worth it for me to contaminate my body like that. And by the way, I care about the environment, so the idea of clear cutting the ocean floor is just so disturbing, you know, that all those species and plant life and everything just gets swept away. It's a scary time for the ocean.
So let's say someone's listening and they go, all right, you know, I want to look better. I want to lose some weight. I want to feel healthier. I want to live longer. I care about, or even if I don't care about the environment, whatever. Mm-hmm. I just want to be better myself. Uh-huh. And so if they're ready to take that next step, one of the things you talked about is doing it gradually, maybe giving up one animal at a time. Like, what would be that first thing that you would recommend to someone if they just want to sort of dip their toe into the water?
Well, I would say opt for the dairy alternatives because it's so easy. And again, you know, since casein, which is the protein in dairy, is such a relevant cancer promoter, I would opt to switch out my dairy because that's available. Instead of milk or cream in my coffee or tea, I put soy creamer. I put rice milk over my cereal or oatmeal. For my ice creams, I have it made from, you know, soy, rice, hemp, or almond. You know, they're so readily available anywhere. That's just the easiest thing to do right there. And so many people, without knowing it, are lactose intolerant. So you may have terrible digestion and think you have all this, you know, these problems in your you know, your colon, your bowel system. A lot of people, when they give up dairy, they find that they feel a lot better. So I think that's a good first step.
And then once they do that, what would be your next step? Give up a meat? Give up an animal?
Give up an animal. Give up eating one animal at a time. So, for instance, on a cruelty factor, because I do care about that, there are over 10 billion land animals that are killed a year for our food. Over 9 billion, and I think it's closer to 9.5 billion of those animals, are chickens. So chickens have the worst life of any of the animals. I mean, they're really terrible conditions. And I would give up birds. I would stop eating turkey and chicken. And they're great chicken and turkey alternatives that you can have. My favorite one is Gardein. It's a high-protein meat alternative. It's in 10,000 grocery stores across the country. In the freezer section, it looks like chicken. It cooks like chicken. You know, you can. They have something called chicken scallopini. Anything you would do with a chicken breast, you can do with this Gardein scallopini. And for Thanksgiving, you know, there's all kinds of turkey alternatives that, again, slice like turkey. You can put gravy over it, eat it with mashed potatoes and Brussels sprouts, and you know, you still have your favorite meal. It's just a plant-based version of the bird that you're used to eating.
No, that is great advice. And I don't want to give anyone the wrong impression that I don't care about animals. In fact, that is actually the reason I became a vegetarian. I started looking into the animal cruelty side of things, and I just couldn't keep doing what I was doing. So that, in my opinion, was the reason for me. And I know for other people, it's less of a reason to become a vegetarian.
Sure.
And so I threw it out there to some of your fans, and they have a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
One of them is, are you concerned that you're not getting enough iron or B12 in your diet?
Well, you get plenty of iron from greens and beans. So if you're eating your greens and beans, you're good. Interestingly, spinach has tons of iron, but it's the hardest one to actually absorb. So you want to do chard and collards and kale and, you know, escarole, all of that stuff, and plus black beans and all of that stuff. You get plenty of iron. Same with calcium. Get it in the same places. B12, it's a good idea for any vegetarian or vegan to take a B12 supplement. But, you know, doctors are really saying that to anybody, that they need B12, and you can get that in any multivitamin. A lot of fortified foods have B12 in it. So definitely take something with B12 in it. The reason is, the theory goes that animals, when they're eating food, they also pick up a lot of dirt, and the bacteria on the dirt in their intestines is what makes the B12. And since we don't eat the flesh that has that bacteria inside of it, we're not getting the B12. If we ate more dirt, the theory goes we'd get our B12, but we just don't live in that kind of a culture anymore.
Yeah, you know, I'll just take the supplement. It's probably easier.
Exactly.
So one more question. This is from Ashley. She's a personal trainer in Chicago, and she is a huge fan of yours. And she wants to know if there's just one thing, what do you value most about being a vegan?
Oh, the thing I value most is I just feel like it's a grand slam. It's affected me in every area of my life. And I'm a person who is motivated by the idea of growing and evolving, and I want to always be moving forward in my life. I don't want to ever just, you know, stay stagnant. I want to learn. I want to feel good. I want to feel like I'm acting on my values. I just want to evolve as a human being. So being vegan approaches all of that. It's a body, mind, spirit. It's just a win-win all around. It's good for me. It's good for the animals I'm not eating. It's good for the environment. It's good for everyone.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I have found it absolutely just I mean, the whole process has been life-changing for me, and like you, I'm all about evolving and progressing, and this is one really easy way to do it. I know it sounds radical, but it's really not. The only thing that's really radical about it is how you're going to look and feel, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so if you liked what you heard today, please go out, buy Veganist. Check out Kathy's website at kathyfreston.com. So that's KathyFreston.com. And she's very active on Twitter. It's at Kathy Freston. And check it out. Read more from her. She's got such an inspirational message and a fantastic book. So thank you again, Kathy. I really appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Robert.
Thanks.